Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Christian, and you are watching Ride the Fence. I got Christian here with me today, and we are going to talk about a couple of things. I think the biggest thing is probably, well, I'm not going to say it's the biggest, but anyway, we'll talk about it. Joe Rogan, the whole concept that, you know, not only is one apology not enough, but, you know, multiple apologies and the removal of, what was it, I think 70 episodes or something like that, some large number of episodes, I believe. That also doesn't seem to be enough. What do you think will be sufficient for people who kind of just want anybody who has something to say against, you know, vaccine mandates and stuff like that? What do you think will be enough for those people? Do you have
any? I don't think there is a limit. I mean, that's why they've taken it overboard. Like, we were all okay with restrictions at first and, you know, things like that. But this whole internet censorship thing, and, you know, it's not enough for Joe Rogan to apologize. You don't want to watch me murder a cat. It's not enough for Joe Rogan to apologize. You know, he has to delete everything, and then that's not enough either. And then he has to be blocked. And the truth is that, you know, corporate media has been after Joe Rogan for a hot minute. This is just the latest assassination attempt they've tried on his career. Like, they've been doing this for well over a year at least now, trying to portray him as a villain. And the reason for that is because he really is sort of breaking the model. I mean, in some ways, he's just following capitalism, and he's gotten paid a ton of money to be exclusive on Spotify. But in other ways, he's shown that, like, you get more ratings by being yourself, and not even just being yourself. He's just pulled a giant audience, and they don't understand that. They don't have a single person other than Rachel Maddow or Tucker Carlson, although I know he's not liberal, but those are the only people that have, like, a real following in news media, and they're freaking out about the fact that they're becoming quickly irrelevant. Their own streaming services are not popular. So they're just trying to take out Joe Rogan because he's the disruption.
Yeah, he really is. I don't know. He's not this amazing person that I think that some people might think he is. I mean, I'm not saying he's, like, a terrible person or anything, but I don't think that he's, like, as glorious as he's made out to be. But I think it really doesn't matter who you are, if you're liked or not. I mean, I'm sure that what you're saying is true, that that has a lot to do with it. You know, like, he has high ratings, higher ratings, more viewership than most of these cable news outlets, right?
So, yeah, and the reason you kind of can see that that's what they're doing is because they're doing it on other platforms. You know, Chelsea Clinton is tweeting about how we need to censor Substack, which is where news commentators go to, or journalists go to, you know, do their own independent journalism. And now that's taking off and people are funding independent journalism, I mean, it's only a matter of time before they try to block even Crystal and Sagar, who are basically as professional as you can get in that space. But, you know, yeah.
I think you're right. I don't think it'll ever be enough. I think what Joe Rogan did, I mean, removing the episodes, in a way it makes sense to me, but also I think it just kind of makes him a little bit of a wuss. I mean, he did something that, you know, a lot of people would say is wrong. I mean, I certainly don't like the joke that he made about Planet of the Apes movie or whatever. I thought that was a pretty distasteful joke, and I think we've all made jokes before that probably weren't the greatest. And if every single moment of our entire life was captured, on video like his, and basically all monetized the way his is, I mean, who's to say that in all of that time, you know, thousands of episodes or however many it is, I mean, it's so many episodes and they're hours long, in some cases, 3, 4, 5 hours long. And then he does stand up sets, you know, he goes out and talks to a crowd for 1 to 3 hours or however long his stand-up sets are. I don't know, but I mean, usually a stand-up set's a pretty decent amount of time if you're the headliner, which I'm sure he usually is. All of these situations, you know, that he finds himself in, they're where he has to do a lot of speaking, and I just don't think anyone could possibly pass that sort of, I hate to use, you know, Pete Buttigieg's phrase, but purity test, you know, no one can really pass that, you know, I mean, I don't think that that's possible, but that was what popped into my head. Sorry, Pete. I hate to steal your one of your phrases. Yeah. Another thing that this reminds me of was, back when Bernie Sanders was actually endorsed by Joe Rogan, it wasn't a full-throated endorsement. It wasn't like...
No, it was like, I'll probably vote for
you. Yeah, I'd probably vote for Bernie, you know? And it was within a conversation that he was having with somebody, and it was just kind of like in passing, you know? And all he really brought up was how overall consistent Bernie Sanders has been, especially compared to other politicians. I believe that was the context of this statement that he made. So, of course, that's a huge score for the Sanders campaign. Why it would be a huge score for anybody's campaign who has any brain cells. So, I mean, Joe Rogan has, what, 11 million subscribers or something like that, something ridiculous. Far more, you know, three or four times the viewership or something like that of CNN and other major news outlets. I mean, and he is just a pothead who, you know, trips on drugs. And like you said earlier when we were talking, you know, he locks himself in some, you know, chamber or something while he's tripping on acid to think about life or to contemplate life.
Yeah, he submerges he submerges underwater in a sealed off like pool where he can float and not feel his body weight. It has a certain like salinity or whatever to the water, whatever you call it, what the amount of it, something about the water is meant to make you feel weightless and you can't feel your body while he's tripping. Yes. And he also, I think, does it at freezing temperatures as well.
That sounds amazing.
I think. Can I say a lot, dude?
Oh, yeah.
Can I just interrupt? Okay. I have so many points on this. One is like what you said. Joe Rogan is neither here nor there. You might like him a little bit more than me. I don't dislike him or like him. I literally think he's like an average liberal person, even though everyone calls him conservative. To me, he reminds me of every other comedian running a podcast, Dax Shepard, Chelsea Handler. Like they all are like.
He's definitely a liberal. You know?
Yeah. But yeah, people call him conservative, but like he's just like kind of not with it, you know, a little too rich to understand some things, but tries to be down to earth. Like he's, you know what I mean? Like there's no one's glorifying everything he says. And someone commented on your post the other day and was like, well, 11 million people are getting medical advice from him. No, they're not. None of those 11 million people think he's a medical doctor. And no one who listens to that show is actually a viewer who has seen him talk about UFOs and conspiracies and, you know, talk about tripping and all of the theories he explores. Everyone knows it's a show where he explores like different theories. So like people act so surprised that he would do the same thing with COVID. Yeah. I think that sometimes he gives, like, I don't agree with him on quite a few things. Like he's pissed me off, but I still am not going to throw him under the bus and say he's never allowed to have a bad opinion ever. I mean, Jesus, I've had bad opinions. Now with the racist stuff, I have not even watched the clip of all that. And so I am not going to give too much, you know, clearly what you told me about the Planet of the Apes joke is, of course, bad, and he should apologize for it. Does that mean he never gets to have a career again? I mean, that seems a little far. But the other thing I wanted to say is that, like, he taps into two different things that people who are very close-minded and tribal like or dislike. So what you said about how he's, you know, some people view him as glorious. There are a lot of conservatives or right-wingers who, if you just say what you want and you're uncensored, like Donald Trump or Joe Rogan or anyone, they associate that with the truth. And they don't go as far as we do in saying, yeah, just saying something doesn't make it true. And just being controversial doesn't make you a truth teller. Candace Owens calls herself a truth teller because she calls it like it is. Like it is on various things. She is always calling out the elites, but she is an elite. And I just want to point that out. And then I think the liberals also tend to have this view that, you know, anyone who is, because Joe Rogan fits this like typical, like, oh, he doesn't know how to feel about the trans thing, supposedly. I mean, I think his comments weren't even that crazy, but well, I haven't heard all of them either.
I will go out on I will step out and say he has made his views pretty clear on that. I mean, he definitely doesn't have the vote blue, no matter who, you know, opinion on that. But go ahead.
Continue. Oh, see, I don't even know. I only know the only thing I ever knew about him saying the trans stuff was he pointed out that someone who had transitioned was like cracking skulls in MMA.
It was sort of a blank. Yeah.
But anyways, whatever his views are on that, they view him as like a meathead. They view him as like, you know, oh, he's an MMA fighter and he's got all these hidden masculine urges that cause him to be violent and to be discriminatory. And that's how people view him on that side. And both of those views are idiotic. And the other thing I wanted to say is Dave Chappelle, what was I going to say about him? Right now they're trying to cancel him, the left. And this is something I've noticed lately is I've been increasingly bothered by online left. And for people listening and not watching, I say that with quotation marks Because if you think that authoritarianism is
a, to note those for
what'd
sure.
you say?
It's important to note the air quotes for sure, I think, before you say this.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're trying to cancel Dave Chappelle because he went to a city council meeting the other day and he said, you know, he kind of, you know, was a little douchebaggy. He basically wielded his $65 million investments in the city and said, if you pass this, I'll pull my business ventures out. Most people do not have that power. So I don't like seeing it, whether it's Dave Chappelle and he's kind of funny doing it, or if it's the local, like down here in Denver, we have Downtown Denver Partnership, which is the group of elites who have the business and they decide what happens at city council. I don't like that. So I don't approve of Dave Chappelle wielding his wealth to get what he wants at city council. At the same time, it's being portrayed on the left as if he is against affordable housing and he's just so rich that he just couldn't even deal with the idea of affordable housing. Let's be very clear. In city planning, and I see this because I attend Denver City Council meetings and I watch these pieces of fucking shit vote on developments all the time, they will say this is affordable housing and it will be 20% of an entire complex of hundreds of apartment buildings, 20% will be called affordable. And even then it's still like barely affordable. Okay. So I was watching the Katie Halper show last night. I have not had time to verify this. I've been at the doctor today and I've had a very busy few days. But I trust Katie Halper enough to have that one primary source and to say that she pointed out that the development he was opposing was just another villainous development that was going to provide very little. It was like 1 acre out of 1,000 or some shit that they were going to provide as affordable housing, and that it is being misportrayed that he is not against affordable housing. That is not why he was against this development. He was against it because he's against big development. Now, whether you agree with that or not, that is a lot different from being against poor people. In this case, he's going against a corporation. So that goes in the same realm. Why are they going after Dave Chappelle? Why is he such an easy target? Why are people who call themselves the left going after both of these people? It's easy to, because they make controversial comments. They're also comedians. But it is about that cancel culture shit that I used to not take seriously because I was gay in high school. And when people were like, cancel culture, I'm like, fuck you. Like, us progressives are taking over. You know, I like going to a school where everybody is basically very liberal and open-minded and stuff. I never really saw it coming until this past year or two with all the censorship, just how intense this is. And now it's coming from the left and the right. And I just want to point out that connection between what they're doing to Dave Chappelle at the same time they're doing it to Joe Rogan. Now, people listening to this will say, well, you're anti-trans. That's why you like Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan. No, I am not. And I understand if you don't like their comments, but they are comedians. They're allowed to have a voice. They're also older than us, and maybe they, if you want to update them or change their mind about stuff, try instead of trying to crucify them.
Dickhead. Yeah. I think that now I have a lot of stuff to say to that. One, just to be clear, me and Christian, don't always have the exact same view on things. So it is very possible for me to have a view on, say, something like a trans argument, you know, something in that ballpark. And maybe he does, or maybe he does not agree with me. Just because I say it does not mean that I'm speaking for him. So I just want to say that, you know, as far as things that have been said in the past, I've already said this before, but just to double down, and then anything that may be said in the future, I speak for myself. He speaks for himself. We do not speak for each other. So, as far as, Dave Chappelle and them trying to cancel him, I mean, it really doesn't surprise me. You know, they use people like him when it's convenient for them. You know, when George Floyd is murdered in front of the whole world by a police officer, you know, he puts out a segment, probably the most touching, you know, commentary I watched on that entire event at all was from Dave Chappelle, and it was called 8:46, and it was, you know, 8 minutes and 46 seconds that he put his, you know, knee on the back of this guy's neck until he suffocated and stuff like that. It's an amazing clip. I mean, I don't know. I mean, when that happens, then they're all over it. You know, we'll take it. You know, he's the greatest person ever and stuff like that. Or when he's making fun of black people, just like he's pointed out on his live, you know, his stand-up specials, you know, if he's making fun of black people, if he says the N-word, no problem. You know, we'll renew you over and over again. We will fund the Chappelle show till the end of time. You can make fun of black people all you want. Oh, but if you make a gay joke, whoop, canceled, you know? And it's like, it's so true though. You know, it's the truth. And now that, you know, he is, you know, called this out, they are reaching for something else. So he must be, you know, he must hate poor people. He must want homeless people to remain homeless for all eternity and die under an overpass. I mean, that is Dave Chappelle wakes up first thing in the morning. How many homeless people can I keep homeless? That's his first thought. And that is what the Republican Party, or excuse me, the Democratic Party would have you think, you know, if you, I mean, Republican, Democrat, same difference really. But I mean, that is what the Democratic Party would have you think if there is some major narrative that the person that they have a problem with isn't, you know, lining up with, if the things they're saying isn't lining up with it. But to what I was saying earlier, though, about AOC, basically, Joe Rogan gave an endorsement, wasn't a full endorsement. It was just kind of, I would vote for him. I think he's the most consistent of anybody. And I think that's a powerful position to be in as the president or something. That was, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. So Bernie Sanders, of course, said, hey, you know, Joe Rogan endorsed me and was proud of that. And hey, everyone should be proud of that endorsement. Okay. I do not care. Like all the stuff, even with all the stuff considered that's going on right now, I will still say, I think that anyone should be proud of a Joe Rogan endorsement. I don't agree with everything Joe Rogan says. I'm not his biggest fan in the world. I don't have any problem with him really, but I mean, I don't just love him, you know.
You know, there's going to be people watching this who are like, you don't mind him because you're fucking racist. That's why you can just brush
over.
Yes,
that is what people are.
There's also people.
You can't win. You can't please everybody all the time. But as soon as he made that endorsement, AOC stepped away from the Sanders campaign, refused to stump for him. They had to actually, you know, they likened it to pulling teeth, I believe is what one article said, trying to get her to come out and stump for the Sanders campaign after that happened. And it wasn't for some time that until they were actually able to get her to agree again, because she was so upset by the fact that Joe Rogan is apparently a racist transphobe. Because speaking on what you said a minute ago, Fallon Fox, and I don't know what gets you pulled off of YouTube or not. I know that I've seen a lot of things that I thought would get pulled off of YouTube, even on Joe Rogan's show, that have not been on this topic and weren't for quite some time. So I don't know how concerned I should be, but talking about this at all. But it was about Fallon Fox, who was, yes, a trans woman who was formerly a man, formerly, if you want to use that word, and participated in some MMA fights and literally cracked someone's skull, like beat them until their skull cracked open. And so Joe Rogan said, you know, that's a dude. I don't care what anyone says, you know, like if, you know, that should be part of the agreement. If you're going to go out there and fight with somebody, that everyone has a full understanding, at least at the very least, if we're even going to allow one, you know, gender to participate in the sports of another, you know, at the very least, there should be some sort of agreement that everyone, you know, everyone signing up understands that they could be fighting a biological male, you know, like in a women's sport, you know, like, because otherwise it could possibly result in the loss of their life if somebody's cracking skulls and stuff like that, which is a fair statement to make. I don't care really where you lie on that. I feel like that's a pretty tame statement to make overall. Probably the most reasonable. It feels like one of those things that even the people furthest on the left, if you really want to call that the left, I don't even call Democrats the left, honestly. I don't even know what I would call that. I mean,
it's people who call themselves the left but want to censor everybody in sight. Look, dude, I was watching. There's a person I really like on Instagram who posts great stuff 99.9% of the time. The other day, it's backwards propaganda. They posted a series of articles about the Chinese firewall, the internet censorship, claiming it was a good thing. And why was it a good thing? Because American corporate influence couldn't get to China. They were protecting their people from corporate influence. You just have no real understanding of how it works. You've never fucking been to China. If that's what you think, is that it's just to protect people and it's not censorship. And at what point do you choose your anti-US imperialism? At what point does that morph into pro-Chinese imperialism? Like, China has done many great things. They are vilified in the media. Those things can be true. But like, if your first instinct is to hate and to judge and we've all been there, we've all accidentally jumped to conclusions, but to censor people, like, that is not the left. And I'll quit interrupting, but you know, the last thing, the reason I didn't have an opinion about the Dave Chappelle thing till after I heard Katie Halper speak is because if you watch that video of him speaking, it reveals no information. The only information that would make you hate Dave Chappelle is the captions, the words on the tweet, what people are commenting. Nothing he said had anything to do with affordable housing. So you're just taking all this context around it and trusting it. You're just trusting people on the internet.
What? That's the thing with taking all this stuff out of context. I mean, that goes to the core of what we're speaking on already with Joe Rogan. I mean, this, he says the N-word a bunch of times on the show, okay? And he's had over 1,000 episodes. I think it's somewhere close to 2,000 now, maybe past that. I don't know. You'd have to ask a big Joe Rogan fan. By the way, what's up, Indy Left? I see you said hey, and on YouTube, I am sorry. I'm terrible at looking at this stuff while we're going live. Somebody else said something.
What's up?
Gloria Miller said, to achieve world government, it is necessary to remove the minds of men, their individualism, loyalty to family traditions, national patriotism, and religious dogmas.
Amen.
Yeah, I agree.
Sounds like a 1984-esque future they're trying to go for here. You're only allowed to have certain thoughts. And that is true. That is the goal of a totalitarian regime.
This whole thing really, to me, is he apologized quite a while back for the awful theater joke. I think that should have been it. Okay, he apologized for it. Maybe if he decided to at the time, took the video down. Maybe he already took it down. I don't even know. I mean, not the biggest Joe Rogan fan in the world. I don't have a problem with him. I do watch the show sometimes, but I don't, you know what I'm saying. So maybe he did take it down. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But that should have been the extent of it, I think. But then they come back and throw this huge supercut together of all these different times where he says the N-word and, you know, make it look like he's saying it in this derogatory, racist way. And he points out within his apology that that was completely taken out of context. So my question to you, Joe, is why take him off then? I think one of the possible answers to that is maybe he's just sick of this coming back to haunt him over and over again. So he was like, okay, look, I want you to review every single episode I ever did. Anytime I ever say that word, let me know the list of episodes. I'll review it. I'll see if I'm missing any major episode that is super popular that people watch a lot. And if not, then let's just go ahead and get rid of them because we already have a huge catalog otherwise. You know, like that might have been his thought process. If so, okay, reasonable. But I feel like what's happening here, if he thinks that that's going to be enough, which you and me already agree, it's probably not going to be enough. If he thinks that is going to be, he is sadly mistaken. You know, that will never be satisfactory to them. So really, he is censoring himself, but he'll still suffer the ultimate consequences, which is defying this fucking mob of people. And I hate to use the word mob because then it kind of feels like Tucker Carlson is what we're watching right now. But I mean,
well, it makes me think about all the people that were afraid of the BLM protests. And we were like, we're peaceful. We just want change. And it's like people get freaked out for a reason by the mob mentality. You know,
I agree with BLM. I mean, it's scary. It's a scary thing when they all collectively have an incorrect opinion and are really mad about, you know, the opinion that you have that is probably correct. So I feel like he made a mistake. I think it was kind of a wuss move. I think he should have just been like, look, I already apologized. This other stuff's taken out of context. Here are the episodes where these are drawn from. I encourage you to go watch it for yourself and see the context there. You know, I realize now that I made a mistake using that word on the show, which is why I haven't used it in years and have no plans to use it in any future episodes. Again, I'm sorry, you know, have a good day. And just left it at that because he's not really going to lose any viewers. I don't think anyone who is a big fan before and then found this out is now jumping ship because they already have probably known about this if they liked him at all. And then
they probably listened to him and like, yeah, he actually is not a racist. Yeah, so
and it's funny because like, I'm not going to magically think he's a racist. They hate now. Or like Dave Chappelle is like one of his dear friends who's on the show and that he hangs out with. It's like this little group of people that, you know, the Vote Blue Matter Who crowd loves. I want to just make a point now to just no longer call it the left. You know, it's like the Vote Blue No Matter Who people. Okay, that's what I'm going to call them, the Vote Blue No Matter Who crowd, because that's really all it is. But, you know, they're wishy-washy, man. They, again, I mean, AOC stopped supporting Sanders for a time over a Joe Rogan endorsement. That just shows you how
that's
foolish
insane. They are.
It's so sad. And it's over Fallon Fox, who I encourage you all to go read about right now.
Are we sure that happened? Because yes. I didn't notice it.
1,000% sure. There's one article by Fox, one by... National Review, which is kind of like a more right wing outlet. But there's, what my point is, there's left and right wing, and even more neutral, if that's what you want to call it. I don't really think any of them are neutral, but you know, it's a reliable event that occurred. There was even a big deal made about, at one point, when they finally did get her to speak for Sanders again, that she gave an entire stump speech without even saying his name one time. So they were like, why are you not even using his name? You're a surrogate for him. You know what I mean? Like, you're giving a speech for him. Why can't
she's so afraid of, like,
yes, like 20 labeled. Years from now, them being able to be like, look, this was the day after. You're saying how much you love Sanders. You know, that guy who takes a lot of DMT said that he liked him, and he also is transphobic. I just don't get it, man. But
I mean, it's the same as AOC being such a wuss that she changed her vote on whether or not to give the apartheid state of Israel money and pretended to cry about it, and later admitted, after people were like, your apology is fucking bullshit, she came out and was like, yeah, it was political calculation. I'm in New York, and basically is what she said. And it was like, I can't explain this back home. It's too difficult of a conversation to get voters to understand. And that was the most honest thing ever. I was like, well, I actually respect you more for saying that you're a political operator. But I just want to say one last thing that you made a point about, but you haven't said it yet during the episode, which is that, like, a lot of these people who, like, are not the left, like you said, they're more like vote blue no matter who. They voted for Joe fucking Biden, who is an actual racist. Not only, yes, does he say things constantly, just the other day, he, like, said the N-word. I mean, he said Negro, but still, I mean, oh, I'm going to get canceled now. But he was talking about, yeah, a baseball player, and he said the way he was talking was just like, oh, you're really letting who you really are come out accidentally here, Joe. He does that all the time. The way he talks about black people is actually racist. It's not pretend or like,
yeah,
oops, he said the wrong word. And he has developed Obama policy. Is
like finally a clean cut. What did he say? An educated clean cut, whatever. I that was how he described Obama at first before he
was running. Oh, Jesus, God. But he also, his policies have destroyed people in a very racist way. The crime bill and all of his, even now, the crime bill 2.0 he's trying to conjure, is racist as hell. So, like, these people don't care about real racism at all. I mean, no, they would
get a free pass. These people get anyone gets a free pass who supports the vote blue no matter who agenda, which can change by the day. You know, you have to check MSNBC or CNN or something like that to figure out what it is currently. But, you know, once you look, you know, you'll be like, okay, if you don't support whatever this says here on Fox, then it's over. Another thing I wanted to point out. This is from the LA Times. Joe Rogan apologizes for using N-word in past, or moves about 70 old episodes. That's the title. And I took a screenshot of this. The boycotts were initially triggered by Rogan's uncritical interview. So, keyword, uncritical, okay? The boycotts were initially triggered by Rogan's uncritical interview on December 30th of a COVID-19 vaccine skeptic, Robert Malone. Okay. So you're not going to point out the fact that he's a doctor, okay? You're not going to point out the fact that he is one of the architects of the mRNA vaccine. He is a COVID-19 vaccine skeptic, Robert Malone.
Okay. Did they pair that with the fact that he had the CNN's health reporter, Dr. Gupta, I think his name is, on, who was very pro-vaccine and is literally from CNN for hours? Did they mention that? Because
I don't know. I mean, I'm kidding.
No, they didn't.
This article, but it was days ago, so I don't remember the full article inside of my mind. I think what's important to me here, though, I mean, that is a great thing to consider. But
yeah, because he's had other people who are pro-vaccine on. They make it sound
that he had an uncritical interview, not just an interview. It would have been cool if he interviewed Dr. Robert Malone. That would have been fine if he interviewed him. But he should have been pointed and, like, ask him questions that kind of cast doubt on what he was saying, because he isn't Dr. Robert Malone, one of the architects of the mRNA vaccine. He is a COVID-19 vaccine skeptic, Robert Malone. And I just think that is important for us to consider there. I mean, that is the way that whoever is in charge of deciding the direction everything is going to go in the world today, whoever's in charge of that, the powers that be, they have a very discreet way of, you know, lying to us and twisting everything. And it's done just like that. Let's leave out the credentials. You know, if it had been someone who agreed with him, they would have put every single credential this person ever had in a row before it and been like a member of the, you know, this board and that board and this council and that council and acclaimed by this group and that group. But if all of that's true for this Robert Malone dude, then let's just leave all that out. He is a COVID-19 vaccine skeptic, and that's it. That's what we're going to title him as. And we're not so upset about the interview. It's the fact that you weren't even critical of him. Why weren't you even critical of him? All he is a COVID-19 vaccine skeptic. It's not like he's a doctor and architect of this, you know? So you should have been hard on him, man. But
I mean, to be fair, I actually, my biggest issue with Joe Rogan is how uncritical he is of some information. He will just like, he'll have Tulsi Gabbard on and he'll just,
he does do
that. I don't know. I wish he was more critical. I mean, of some interviews, but that's not enough reason to hate him and call him a fucking like propagandist against the vaccine and all that shit.
The way that he kissed Kanye West's ass for 2 or 3 hours on that
Elon Musk.
Yeah, he definitely,
your brain seems to work in ways that are just, it's like, no, he's a dumbass rich brat. He actually, the reason that he talks like that is because his brain is lagging and he doesn't know how to put sentences together very well because he's a freak.
I don't even know what I think about that guy, man, but we don't have too much time yet. And I want to talk about this one last topic. So I don't want to get into Elon Musk's personal life right now and my views on him. But what I will say is the other major thing, which is probably more major, I don't know, I guess that's up to you to decide what's more important. But basically all these truckers in Ontario for, I think, weeks now have completely backed up the Ambassador Bridge, which is responsible for 28% of all annual trade movement between the U.S. and Canada. And so they have completely backed this up because and if I understand it correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, anybody here who is watching this on YouTube, Facebook, wherever it is that you're watching this or listening to this. My understanding is that they decided to block this bridge off because Canada issued mandates that said that these truckers are not even allowed to pass through unless they have proof of vaccination status. So of course, you know, tons, you know, thousands and thousands of truckers suddenly lost their job essentially if they refused to get the shot. And so they're like, okay, that's ridiculous. You know, like I should not have to get the shot to keep my job. You know, the government should not be stepping in through these companies and forcing me to get this. It's insane.
Also, and you're spending hours alone in your vehicle.
Yeah, that's your job. I mean, it's like the least, I don't even know if I could, I'm not a scientist, so I'm just going to shut the hell up. I don't want to give YouTube another reason.
I can guarantee you that spending hours alone in your car is not a way to spread COVID effectively.
God, these people are so dumb. You ever see someone driving down the street with a mask on in their own car? Like they're by themselves. You can even see.
I live in Denver, dude. I've seen it all. These people are,
they're not, they don't even have someone in the back seat. So it's not like they're being considerate of somebody else or something. No. They're just straight up wearing a mask. And it's not like they're wearing it where they can still breathe out of their nose or something at least. And you're like, maybe he just forgot to take it off after he left Walmart. This person's got it like fully on. They'll have like
windows
a N95 in front of a cloth mask while they're driving a car with the windows up. And it's on like recirculating air in the car too. So it's like already there's no air leaving the vehicle. So I don't, I don't know what that's all about.
I've seen it and it just, it's like, you, no way you're that stupid.
That's the way. Hey, those are the type of people that you see later on working at the DMV. You know, it's like that same person. You see them later and they're bagging groceries at Walmart. I'm not trying to be hateful to people that work at Kroger. Okay. I'm just saying, usually it feels like when you go to these stores and you run into that one slow, I shouldn't put every grocery bagger in one category, okay? But I'm
I used to be a bagger, so don't come after us. I was grocery store Schnucks, bagger,
Schnucks, okay? I remember, wasn't it? Or was it Schnucks?
Schnucks Grocery. Now it's International Farmers Market.
So if anybody was here trying to farm information to use his social security number and credit score, now you know one of the jobs that he used to work at was Schnucks.
That's how it works.
But anyway, so
say where you work,
one thing that made headlines was a lady named Juliette Kayyem. I believe I'm saying that correctly. And she made a post. She is an analyst for CNN, and that's why this is relevant. Okay. She said the convoy protest applauded by right-wing media as a freedom protest, in quotes, is an economic and security issue now. The Ambassador Bridge link constitutes 28% of annual trade movement between U.S. and Canada. Slash the tires, empty gas tanks, arrest the drivers, and move the trucks. Check mark. That was her tweet. Okay, she works for CNN. I mean, we should be past the point of pretending like any of these news outlets are not completely biased, okay, in favor of the most vote blue no matter who shit you've ever heard in your life. But the fact is that these truckers, then, I mean, they're good for them, you know? Like, I understand that probably half of them are, like, Trump supporters. I saw one of the stickers on the... All these news outlets have made a point to, like, zoom in on the most inflammatory things on their car. So they have one that's like, "Truck you, Trudeau," or whatever, however you say his name. And it's like a big picture of an 18-wheeler or something like that. And then there's another one like, "Make Canada Great Again," or something. I mean, you know that these people who are doing this, for the most part, or at least I can say this about for myself, is I know that I don't agree with these truckers on most things, you know, but still I am with them 100%, you know, because it's like, no one should be forced to get this shot. No one should be forced to get it. It would be one thing if it was like a smallpox vaccine or something where it actually for sure 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt fully or like 99 point whatever percent prevents the spread of the disease. In that sense, yes, maybe we could be having that argument now about whether or not, you know, you should be able to get it. Or you should have to get it. And, you know, you're trampling on my personal freedoms, you know, and my right to stay healthy and not get sick. Like, there is actually a time and a place for an argument like that. I would just say that right now is not the time and place for that argument, because what we know about the vaccine, which I would I have said a billion times, because everyone knows that this is this. You could find this on fucking MSNBC. It wouldn't matter. It does not prevent the spread. You know what I mean? So you could still get it. It prevent you from showing symptoms, but then you still actually spread it to other people. So it's not, there is no argument really at this point in time. And the longer we go along and the more we find out about these shots, the more we know that they don't work. And again, this has come from somebody who got both shots. Okay. So I'm not just saying this as somebody who's, I'm just taking up for people who decide not to get the shot, who weigh the pros and cons in their life and make the decision for themselves, a decision only they can and should be able to make, that they do not want to get it, you know? And it's kind of like the thing that Republicans jump to immediately when you have this kind of discussion. My body, my choice, you know, my body, my choice, right? But it's true though, you know what I mean? It is actually true though in this sense, because this isn't an extremely effective vaccine in the same sense that many of the vaccines that we know about to this day, for example, smallpox or something like that, those vaccines are extremely effective, you know, compared to this. So it's not the same fucking thing. It's not the same thing at all. And also, again, with the masks, man, you know, I mean, people are sick of this, but anyway, I don't want to go too far into this, because then I'll never shut up, because I'll just get really angry. But basically these truckers, their jobs, their livelihoods were threatened. And then they were like, okay, well, you know what? I am going to stand up for more than just my rights here to pass through. I want these mandates to be gone, you know, nationwide. I don't want it to just be me crossing through this gate and then I have to deal with this in every other aspect of my life. I want these mandates to be dropped immediately. Now I believe they declared it a state of emergency in the area. Because, you know, they're unable to move products back and forth. I think it's mostly the car industry that has been affected. And so that is artificially rising the cost of car parts and stuff like that. And I'm guessing probably vehicles as well. So
according to my extremely, some might say uninformed and even stupid father, I love him, but you know, last night when I dared to try to have a conversation with him that the extreme left is causing shortages because of their demand for electric vehicles. Just want to throw that out there.
I'm glad you said it, because I was thinking about it as I was reading up on this, and I was thinking, I just heard an alternative fact, as Kellyanne Conway would put it, are alternative facts. Okay, another thing that I wanted to point out, this is an article from Politico about the trucker situation as well. Man, I wish I still had it pulled up because I can't actually see who said it. So I don't know that that really. Okay. I believe it was the premier, Doug Ford. Yeah. So this is what he said. This is part of his quote. "The eyes of the world are upon us right now. And what they are seeing is not who we are. It's not what Canada is about. This is not how we try to change things here in Canada. We do it through the ballot box." Fuck you, dude. I don't even know who you are. I don't know where you stand politically, Doug, but go fuck yourself, dude. I do not understand that concept that they can just implement anything that they'd like in a very authoritarian way. You know, like, you are not allowed to cross this bridge to do your job unless you prove that you got a vaccine that fucking sucks. You know what I mean? Like, you're not able to do that, you know?
Because the vaccine ain't that bad, to be fair. I know it doesn't prevent transmission, but most people I know who've gotten the vaccine, they're sick for like a day or two and they rebound. It's like the flu. Like, you get it a couple of times or you get the vaccine and then...
True, but yeah, the incubation period, all of that stuff is still there. You know, there's still the period of time where it's being spread to other people that's not actually being eliminated by the vaccine. Yeah. So the vaccine could save your life, maybe. Or maybe it, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that it has zero value. I'm just saying the point of a vaccine, generally speaking, when we think of vaccines that have been mandated by the federal government and, you know, that has been pushed through employers and stuff like that. Like, when we look at those sorts of situations, that is generally speaking about a vaccine that has a very contagious, you know, an illness that that is extremely contagious, that vaccine is eliminating the contagiousness of it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying this in a really eloquent scientific way right now, but I'm certain that what I'm saying is factually accurate. It's ridiculous that they should be able to tell people that they can or can't go to a place or do a certain thing. All these things that are, you know, fundamental parts of life. They can do that without any sort of voting measure. You know, they don't need your vote for that. But if you decide to stand up against that and say, go to hell, you know, like, you're not going to just force that on me. Their first response, knee jerk reaction, is, we do this at the ballot box. This isn't who we are. Well, why don't you do that at the ballot box? Why are there not individual things that, why are we not individually voting on whether or not as a society we believe that there should be a mandate on this or that? You know, if that's what if that's the process that we want to, you know, cling to when it's convenient for us as a politician, right? Then I'm not really sure. I mean, I don't think you disagree with me at all. I think that this whole thing, though, is just...
I advocate for direct democracy, and in specific, the closest thing to what I have in mind is sortition voting, or a version of that, which is where you take a huge sampling of the population, basically like jury duty. They get one term and they get paid accordingly. Like, well, they, you know, something, you know, maybe give them job security. Say you're going to get really good unemployment benefits, or your job has to give you your job back after this 3-4 year term. Look, can people still be corrupted? Hell yeah. But like, imagine just getting rid completely of career politicians and people in our lives, like our mom, our brothers and our friends, being able to actually be the politicians instead of having a political class, just getting rid of it. So I believe in direct democracy, and it's exactly because of everything you just said.
Yep. It needs to happen. I mean, this is a situation where I definitely agree with the truckers. I don't agree with them on probably everything that they're out there saying. But at the same time, the major part here, the concept that these mandates are somehow okay and aren't authoritarian, is just not true. I mean, if we were talking about, and I'm not trying to beat a dead horse on the smallpox thing, but let's just say we were talking about smallpox and not COVID, you know, and its vaccine, I would probably have a very different stance than I do right now, because that would be highly contagious. The vaccine, we would know for sure, prevents the spread like 98 or 99% of the time, as opposed to a COVID vaccine, which just at this point in time, unless things change, unless there are major updates and overhauls to how this, you know, what this stuff is and how it works or whatever, unless that change occurs, what we know now is that it just doesn't even have anywhere near that level of effectiveness, really, at all, as far as transmission compared to these other vaccines that we're forced to get. So there is a time and place for that argument. That's all I'm saying. And it's not now. It's just not right now. It just is not with the COVID vaccine as we know it today.
We need real working class unity, man, because I've noticed something since the beginning of this pandemic, which is that conservatives or more libertarian or more right wing types will come out and will actually disrupt things if it comes to certain civil liberties, gun rights and restrictions and vaccine mandates. I'm with them on most of that. At least, again, I don't agree with them 100%. I know, sure, I wouldn't get along with some of these truckers. I know that their alternative to Trudeau is Trump, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're mainly, like, it's not like they're all super intelligent and on our side. A lot of them are just right-wingers. But the truth is, mm-hmm, that, like, they will come out and fight for certain things, then they won't come out and fight for other things. And it, I guess what I'm, gosh, I kind of lost what I was trying to say.
Well, I think I know what you're saying. I mean, it's really just like when it comes to stuff like this, we need to understand that, for example, the January 6th insurrection, you know, you don't want to have like these major charges and FBI manhunts for all these people and like demonize them to the extent that we have to this point now, you know, because what you're doing is opening the door for true authoritarianism to kind of lay the groundwork for future administrations, you know. So, you know, you look at something that happens under Trump, which is January 6th or whatever, and then, you know, Joe Biden comes in and he can say, in the Democratic Party, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, everybody, you know, who are the spokespeople of the Democratic Party right now, can look at the situation and say, we need to, you know, punish these people to the fullest extent of the law. We need to crack down on all these protests. We need to crack down on all that. And it's dangerous, you know, for us to, maybe that's not what you were saying, I don't know, but I feel like there is like a double standard there, you know, and there is a lack of unity, like you said, in the, within the working class of this country, where we don't understand that we don't have to agree with people all the time to respect their right to protest, their right to stand up against, you know, speak truth to power. And it's not going to help us only doing that part of the time, or if
picking and choosing, yes, based,
you know,
on
conservatives, maybe they're standing up for these vaccine mandates, against these vaccine mandates right now, which I totally agree with. And then it may be, you know, 2 weeks from now, there's a bunch of shootings involving police officers, and then people want to protest about that. And the very same people who totally support these protests may not support these other protests about this other topic at all. And by not supporting that, it's counterproductive to everything, to all of us, including their initial movement. You know, it's just like it's a loss all the way across the board, because we're not allowed, you know, we're not allowing ourselves to see things for what they really are, you know? And I think,
yeah, most if you're of that, against tyranny, you're against tyranny, whether it's cops killing people for no reason or mandates or any of that.
And it, yeah. And I think that's a prime reason not to, you know, to try not to jump on a bandwagon if you can't. You know, I know I haven't been the best at that, and I know that, you know, none of us are the best at it, but to the best of our abilities, I think it's important for all of us to just know that going into every single situation, to try our best, to know that we should try our best not to to judge people, you know, based on some other topic that has nothing to do with the topic at hand, because we could find allies in really unexpected places if we paid attention. You know, people on the left, or, you know, on the actual left could totally line up with conservatives and stuff like that on things like these vaccine mandates, if we would just all allow that to be possible, instead, yeah, of just saying, you know, screw you because you don't agree with abortion rights or something like that, so we're just not going to support you at all on this, you know, just because you're finding another opportunity to say my body, my choice, you can go to hell, and or something, you know what I mean? Like that sort of thought process. I mean, let us just stick to the principles here. You know, it is wrong to force people to get vaccines that, you know, only really truly affect them, you know.
Also, it's not insane like vaccines do have side effects. You know, I was researching the vaccines I was supposed to get for my cat, and they're like, we're finding out that sometimes tumors grow in the spot because of the adjuvant that they use. And so you might want to pay more for a different brand that doesn't have this ingredient. That's real. That's actually, a vet will say that on their website, and they'll upsell you in a different vaccine because that one might cause cancer. This isn't crazy. The people might need to have a choice about what they do with their bodies. Also, young men have a much higher, and this, someone who works on the CDC advisory board for Joe Biden, thank you, Sagar, for giving me all my information, but someone who works on the CDC advisory board for Joe Biden, so this is not some crazy crack, this is somebody who currently works for the federal government under Joe Biden at the CDC, admitted that there is a much higher chance for a certain age group of young men to get myocarditis from a booster shot than there was for them to get COVID severe hospitalization from COVID without getting a booster shot. So they're not saying don't get vaccinated. They're just saying once you hit that two, it's actually more dangerous if you're in this age group to get the booster than it is to just wait and see if you get COVID. So just don't get the third shot. And that is a controversial thing to say, but that's the truth. The vaccines, they do trigger an autoimmune response. That is the point. So don't pretend they don't have risks. They do.
They do. And it brings me to the very last thing that I want to talk about just really quickly before we go. And then we're rolling because I got to get ready for work. I got to finish doing my laundry and stuff. One, if you haven't subscribed to us yet, wherever you're listening to us or wherever you're watching us, please click that subscribe button. Please click that follow button. If you are watching us on YouTube, please click subscribe, then click that little bell, and then click all so you actually get notified when a video comes out. There's also the ability to rate shows now on Spotify. So if you are listening to us on Spotify, please click that 5 stars. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, click the 5 stars. Wherever it is you're listening to us, please give us 5 stars. Click that like button, the thumbs up or whatever. And also share this with other people because me and Christian are both way too broke to pay for advertising right now. So we're kind of banking on you guys. The last thing I wanted to say though was I saw in a thread, and I'm pulling it up right now so that I don't give any like inaccurate information here, but I'm in a huge thread that Indy Left put me in a while back, and there's all these people that I believe most of them are in his Independent News Network page, and man, it's going to take me forever to find this.
Well, can I say something really fast while you're finding it?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So this is important. There's a new interview about to come out. It's about to come out with Joe Biden. And they asked him about Russia and Ukraine. And he made it clear, very clear, from the quote that has come out from the preview of this interview, that he believes that a war with Russia could trigger World War III and could have massively unintended consequences. And so he does not want war with Russia. And look, I don't like Joe Biden. He's already gotten, you know, made the military industrial complex money just by shipping weapons to NATO countries. But it is a big deal that Joe Biden was the one who got us out of Afghanistan. Again, he blew up a family on the way out, so fuck him. But he got us out of Afghanistan, and now he's being pushed towards the brink of war with Russia. And he has made it, from what I understand, in this interview that's about to drop, has made it clear he is not seeking war with Russia. He views that as something that could trigger World War III. And he's opposed to a real fight with Russia. And that is good. That is very good.
That is good. I believe that President Zelensky is his name of Ukraine. Has already said that he will, that if any sort of attack occurs, that it will trigger a major war in Europe. So I'm sure that Biden is really just kind of, you know, adding to that reality and just kind of acknowledging it.
But imagine if it was any, I mean, it could be any other president starting a fucking war, dude. It really could.
I do think that Joe Biden has to happen for his approval rating. So I don't know that the Democratic Party is in such a bad spot right now because of their absolute failure to get anything accomplished in an entire year. And then that being, of course, compared to the Trump administration, and somehow the Biden administration in many ways looks worse than the Trump administration. I think a lot of people, not in every way, of course, like you said, you know, we pulled out of war finally after 20 years. We did an awful job. Thanks, Joe Biden. But
thanks for killing an entire family
on the way out. Yeah. Like, by the way, go to hell. But you know, I don't know. I feel like the Democratic Party is going to have to pull an ace out of their sleeve like that. You know what I mean? Like they almost have to, we almost have to go to war so that the economy is stimulated and we're saved from all of this and stuff like that. It's
we
like,
couldn't just do healthcare. We couldn't cancel student debt. We couldn't legalize marijuana, which would literally require nothing and would be hugely popular, even with Republicans. No,
we got to go to war instead. But hey, I hope that according to the speech that you're talking about, that's about to come out, or you say it is about to, or it already has.
I think it's about to. Okay. It's an interview.
So, you know, hopefully that information that's given to us is really hopeful. I guess we will be back to talk with you all about that next week. What thing that I did want to say though, real quick, was I'm in this thread with Indy Left News and other people, like a lot of other people, and someone named Slow News Day, who I guess is a kind of a at least semi-popular podcast or YouTube show here. Yeah, organizer, activist, doc, film member, host, contributor, you know what? Okay. Yeah, it's a show, Slow News Day show, and on Rockfin. They posted this information. French insurance company refuses claim from fatal adverse event due to experimental injection, effectively saying the person essentially committed suicide. All of the protections are on pharma and the government side. You have none. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I ended up actually reading about this, and I'm not refuting that the main claim, which is that an insurance company said that a man basically committed suicide because he already knew that the COVID vaccine was experimental and then took it anyway and suffered some consequences. I think all of us did have to sign some sort of thing in order to get it in the first place. Just mean you have to sign that crap anyway, you with all of them, I think. But so I don't know that it's like exclusive just to COVID. It's not like you get the smallpox vaccine. They're like, you're straight. And then they're like, COVID, oh, you got to sign these 30 documents and accept the
terms. I don't think I've signed anything waiving my rights. He probably is doing something really experimental if he signed away his rights.
I don't know, man. I had to sign a piece of paper. I had to write all my information down and sign the piece of paper and hand it to them. So I don't know what that agreement that I was signing said, but any agreement that I had signed before in my life would have actually been signed by my parents, because that's when I got all the vaccines that I got when I was a child. I was a minor, so I wouldn't actually know. That's what I'm saying. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to the COVID-19 vaccine here and just saying, I'm assuming anything that you would sign for that would be whatever you would sign for anything medical related. So, but I don't know though. But I'm not refuting the actual claim here that a life insurance company refused to pay out on it. That's very possibly true. And I'm sure that over time we will find out that it happens over here also. I don't know, but I mean, I'm just saying I haven't had enough time to look too deeply into it. But what I wanted to point out about it was just the absolute lie in the article, which makes me doubt the rest of it, which is why I'm not saying it's a lie, but it probably is. I'm not even going to pretend like I can say that. RF, okay, mentioned in an interview that the CEO of a large insurance company revealed that there has been an unprecedented 40% increase in mortality in 2021. I'm sure that's true. I checked out his statement and was able to verify it. I found that on or before, and this is again Mountain Publishing or something. January 11th, 2021, Scott Davidson, CEO of One America Insurance Company, revealed that there has been a 40% increase in mortality in 2021. So I guess this person is having like some sort of mental malfunction and just retyping the same sentence back to back over and over again, which is always a sign that the source is very trustworthy, by the way. So if you were wondering, you know, how can I know if an article is true? Look for lots of typos and grammatical errors and stuff like that. That's how you know you're reading some gold, okay? I found that on or before January 11th, okay, blah, blah, blah. Scott Davidson stated, we are seeing right now the highest death rates we have seen in the history of this business. Death rates are up 40% over what they were pre-pandemic. That figure was confirmed by the Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India, which reported a 41% rise in death claims in 2021. It keeps going and going and going. And then, and also grammatically, it says that a 40% increase in death. It's supposed to say that's a 40% increase in death. So I just don't know what the hell it is I'm reading. I mean, it's just so poorly written. And not only that, but here's the big like bombshell here that it's supposed to say that So I'm just going to say it as if it was typed correctly, because it's not. That's a 40% increase in deaths in the U.S. from represents 900,000 increased deaths in 2021 over 2020 attributed to the COVID-19 vaccines. What the dude, you don't just get to say every single death is attributed to the COVID-19 vaccine. You're not like, that dude died of COVID. That must be attributed to the COVID-19 vaccine. What? Where did you learn how to do math, dude? Who wrote this? Hold up. Edward Hendry. I'm calling you out, bro. I'm calling you out, Edward. You need to learn how to write, and you also, you can't just make these like really broad statements like that. Like,
it's probably not even his real name.
Increase in deaths in the U.S. in 2021 over the year 2020 is all attributed to the COVID-19 vaccine. Look, you don't get to, like, that is the most dumb logic I've ever seen in my life, man. So just,
Joe Rogan wrote that article.
Yeah. Look, just find a new day job, bro. I don't know if you're getting paid for this. I hope not. I hope no one paid you to do this. but anyway, that's not a jab at Indy Left. I'm jabbing Edward, whoever you are. But I want to point out to Slow News Day and anyone else who has retweeted this or shared that article in some way, please read the article before you share it. Because in this case, it makes you, Slow News Day, look very not credible. Anyway, I hope you guys all enjoyed it, and we will see you next time.
Can I say fast?
Sure, go ahead.
That ties into the Dave Chappelle thing, which is take a day or two to really think about it instead of, because everything's outrageous. So you're going to feel rage when you read 100%. These things. You're going to want to retweet it. But just because most of the world is outrageous does not mean every little thing that happens is bad. There are tiny little bright spots, and like jumping to believe the worst case scenario because we all know Big Pharma is evil, you know. Just take a day or two to think it over and get to know what you're talking about. If I would have retweeted the Dave Chappelle shit, I would have felt like an idiot literally two days later. So
yeah, I saw it in a group and read saw everyone just like having a like shitting bricks all over this thread about it, and I was like, whoa, you know. And then I started to read about it, and I was like, yeah, I think I'll just wait a little while and see like what develops, you know, because I don't know that I trust this yet. And yeah, you're right, that's great advice. Again, subscribe if you haven't. We super appreciate you being here. And for everybody who listens to this on Spotify, Apple, Google, everywhere else, this episode will be available elsewhere over the weekend.